Chris, our curate, is going to be thinking with us now about the theme of friendship in the life of David and what we can learn from that. So let's bring Chris back on screen now, and I'll pray for him, and then he's going to speak to us, bring God's word, and invite our response to what the Spirit has to say to our hearts and minds this morning. Father, we thank you for Chris, and we thank you for the gift that you have placed within him, the gift of communicating the truth of your word. Thank you for the time he spent listening to your heartbeat. Thank you for the way that you have spoken to him and the message you've given him for us today. We pray that your Spirit will move within him and within each of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. So good to be here with you all. So as Paul said, we're continuing our series on David. And maybe you've not been able to be at every one of the last three live streams we've had. So I'll give you a really quick recap just to tell you where we've been so far. And we started off looking at David's heart. His heart was devoted to God. And then we looked at David's battle with Goliath and how David trusted God to give him the victory. And David just kept his eyes fixed on God. And then last week, we looked at David's waiting, the way he patiently waited for God to fulfill what he had promised, that David would one day be king of Israel. Well, today we are going to look at the friendship between Jonathan and David. It's a wonderful example of totally committed friendship. And as we'll see as we go through, you'll see just how deep that commitment runs between them. Now, before we get into that, I want to set a little bit of context. So David is fresh out of the battle from Goliath, where he's used his slingshot and stones, and Goliath has been slain. And David is invited into the house of the king, into the king's palace of all places. He gets to be in the royal palace. And so that's David. He's a young lad just in this palace, and Saul is just welcoming him into that place. And Jonathan is the king's son. He's the heir to the throne, so he's a prince. And he's also a commander of a third of Saul's army. So he's a really important figure in Israel. He would have been looked up to. It would have been obvious that he was the prince and this really senior commander. And he's seasoned in battle. He's been to many battles. So these are the two people in the royal palace, and they meet. They meet when they're in that place, and immediately they strike up a friendship. But it's much more than just an acquaintance, a friendship that would come and go. And the Bible actually uses the word covenant. And if you look at 1 Samuel 18, right at the top in verse 3, you'll see that they made a covenant together before God. And when the Bible uses the word covenant, what it's talking about is a really serious commitment between two people to be there for the other, no matter what the risk. And that's what we'll see as we look at David and Jonathan's life as it goes forward from this point of them establishing a friendship. Now, when they make this covenant of friendship, when they agree to be friends no matter what, Jonathan hands David some items. They're really significant. And so I've got a few prompts here to remind us of the items that Jonathan gave to David. The first, well, not in any particular order, but Jonathan gives David his sword. So here's our sword. We're not told, but I imagine these items would have been very grand in the sense that they were used by the commander of a third of Saul's armies, the prince, the heir to the throne. And so there's going to be something about them that signifies his importance. Now, Jonathan also gives David his belt. So again, here we go. We've got a very grand royal belt there. We'll just put that there. And he gives David his robe. This was the nearest I could find to a royal robe. So here we are. It's got plenty of gold on it. Well, not real gold, but gold thread and stuff. And we'll just put that there. And the last thing he gives him is his bow. Now, this one looks a little bit plainer. So we're just going to put that there. We'll need that in a little bit. So I'm going to leave all those items there so that you can remember just how significant Jonathan is. And for Jonathan to say, I'm going to support you, David. I'm going to be your friend no matter what you face. It's like a huge thing for David and for Jonathan. Now, events then happen, and David goes and fights lots of battles for Saul. And God gives him victory, and victory after victory after victory. And Saul becomes jealous. He becomes envious of David, and he seeks to try and kill him. Now, here's where we see the depth of friendship between Jonathan and David, because Jonathan could have responded to his father's request to both his son and to all the officials to go and find David and kill him. But no, instead, Jonathan calls his father to task, and he challenges Saul and says, well, you can't treat David like this. And for a short time, Saul and David are reunited. But David fights more battles, and he is given victory by God. And Saul again becomes jealous of David. And we see again that David comes to Jonathan. He said, what's going on? Why is your father intent on killing me? And this is all in 1 Samuel chapter 20, if you want to read there later. And Jonathan and David, they reunite and they reestablish their covenant. They just remind each other before God of the depth of their friendship and this total commitment they have. Now, in doing this, Jonathan is taking a huge risk, because Saul has explicitly said you need to find David and kill him, and yet he's finding David and protecting him. And they work out this plan to help David know how Saul feels about him and to work out whether David should go into hiding. So Jonathan goes off back to the king's palace to this feast that Saul is having, but David doesn't go. And Jonathan, again, taking huge risk, he makes excuses for David when Saul asks where David is. And Saul is really angry at this. He thrusts his spear at Jonathan, trying to kill even Jonathan. And at this point, Jonathan knows that Saul is intent on killing David. And so he goes out of the feast. He goes to find David. And he goes to a special place they've agreed to that David's going to be hiding. And he goes with his armor bearer. He takes his bow, so we've got a bow here, and he takes an arrow, and he fires three arrows. We're just going to fire one, and there he goes. That arrow goes off. I won't fire it too far. I might hit the window. Three arrows go up into the hillside, and he sends his armor bearer after them. And whilst the armor bearer is going, he says, no, go on beyond the place over there. And that's the signal to David to say, your life's in danger. You need to run. Now, the armor bearer gets sent back to camp, and Jonathan and David have this moment where they can just reconnect, reaffirm their dedication to each other and how they will be there for each other no matter what. And we see that, as we'll hear more about next week, that even after Jonathan's death, David upholds the covenant between them, and he looks after Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, takes him into the royal palace. So that's David and Jonathan, this wonderful, incredible, beautiful friendship that they have. And you can see God's hand in all of that, just working through their friendship to ensure David's safety, that David will one day be able to be king of Israel. Now, we're going to fast forward quite a long way. And Jesus, when he was with his disciples, we read in the Gospel of John in chapter 15 and verse 15 that Jesus gathers his disciples together and he says, look, I'm not going to call you servants because you're not servants. I want to call you friends because I'm inviting you into a friendship with me. Now, if this is even more wonderful than the friendship we saw between David and Jonathan, because Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Son of God. And Jesus, when he says, I want to invite you into friendship, he's talking about that kind of covenant relationship, you know, that really deep, serious, totally committed friendship. And Jesus models that because he says that I so want to enable you to be my friends that I'm going to die for you. And Jesus sacrificed his life that we could be friends with him. Now, we know that death could not hold him and he rose again. And so Jesus' invitation for us to be his friends is as alive and as real today as it was 2,000 years ago to his disciples. And so by his Holy Spirit, we can know a friendship with Jesus that will mean that Jesus walks through with us through everything we face, no matter what, no matter how deep the valley, how high the mountain, whether we are really sad, really lonely, very happy, full of joy, Jesus will walk with us through every season. Now, as we draw to a close, what I'd love us to do is to reflect on the friendship that we've heard about between David and Jonathan, what it means to be committed in friendship, and see how they were both committed to each other. It wasn't a one-sided thing. And then to think about Jesus' invitation to each of us to be his friend and that he is our friend. To think about that is, again, not a one-sided thing. Jesus has done and given everything for us. And he invites us to give our hearts to him, to give ourselves to him and say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you and be your friend. So we're going to take just a short time to be still before God. And invite Tom back onto the screen. And we will just spend, I encourage you to spend some time reflecting as Tom plays on Jesus' invitation for us to be his friends. And maybe if you don't even know Jesus, maybe that's where you're at and you think, well, I've never thought about Jesus being my friend. Reflect now, spend some time in stillness thinking about that Jesus is offering that invitation to you, to me, to each of us. And that you could accept that invitation today, right now. Or maybe you know Jesus as friend, and Jesus is just reaffirming his commitment to you as your friend and calling you into even deeper friendship. Tom, do play for us as we're going to take some time now to be still before God, and then I'll pray, and then we'll worship again. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to give his life for us. Jesus, I thank you that you invite each of us into friendship with you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are totally committed to that friendship and that you will walk with each of us through whatever it is we face. And so I pray, Father, for each of us gathered on this live stream, that as we go into the rest of this week and into the month of September and on through this year, that we'll know your presence, Jesus, that we'll lift our eyes up and see you, and that we will know your friendship. Your friendship that is greater than any friendship we could know. And that in friendship with you, we will be able to walk through the next season of our lives, knowing the most wonderful love that we could ever know. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Tom will now lead us on into some more worship. Thank you, Tom.